book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 23.
All right, Proverbs chapter 23. Let's look towards the end of this chapter. Follow with me as I read verse 29, and if you are able, please stand out of respect to God's word. Verse number 29, Proverbs 23. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without a cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Father, we thank you for your word, and just ask now as we spend some time in it that you would bless us, give us understanding and clarity. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I'd like to just simply talk a little bit about the blight of booze, the blight of booze. And I guess what started this all off is, I guess this is my hobby horse week. I told you 1 John 5:7 is one. It belongs in the Bible, even though there are those that would rip it out and cast doubt on it. But another one is booze. I was a heavy drinker. I don't think you could say I was an alcoholic before I got saved because I had only drunk heavily for 3 or 4 years. I think it takes a little longer than that. But nevertheless, I know what that lifestyle is all about. I know what the booze does. And as I read these verses in the Word of God, I can affirm this is exactly the way it is. God just lays it right out there. He doesn't mince any words. He doesn't color anything to make it palatable. He just tells you how horrible it is to be deceived by booze. But what brought all of this on is, now don't notice my coloring pages on the back, but I've got a poster. None of you can see it. Maybe not a poster, but a flyer for a faith night, F-A-I-T-H, a faith night to go watch a baseball game. Included in this package for the churches on faith night is an all-American picnic. And it looks like a nice menu, hot dogs and pulled chicken, roasted barbecue. Boy, I'm getting hungry. Is it time for lunch yet? Can't I get done yet? But along with this, list on the menu for the all-American picnic are 2 beverage tickets. And just in case you don't understand what a beverage ticket is, they tell you. You can have Bud, Bud Light, or wine. Now, soft drinks and water are also included in that, but you're paying for the Bud Light, and the wine because they cost more than the soft drink and the water at faith night. Now, I received this. Well, the first contact was a telephone call, and I told them to email me something because I was interested. I love baseball. When I saw what it was all about on faith night, I emailed him back and told him I found it very offensive that they would include booze on faith night. Well, he kindly emailed me back in response to my email to him. And if that wasn't concerning enough to have the promotion at a baseball game of faith night, including booze, where if you buy your ticket, you are buying your booze. He says this. If that wasn't concerning enough, he says, and I'm reading verbatim, this is just the package, talking about the ball game, the ticket, the dinner, including the booze. He says, this is just the package that has been popular for faith night in the past. Then he goes on to offer a different package that didn't include the booze. But I find that very concerning. In my email response to him, I talked about where is biblical Christianity. And And unfortunately, we have worldlings playing Christian and playing church, and they're not serious about it, and the world laughs because Christians are just like the world. And we find this more and more as the last days approach. And if you're curious about that, tonight I'm going to start a series on end time events. Very relevant for today because we find ourselves most likely in those end times events. I'm not a date setter, but we certainly are in times that resemble them if we're not. We'll go through the prophetic calendar and the list of prophetic events that will happen in the end time. So don't miss tonight at 6 o'clock. But as we approach these days, God talks about being perilous times. And as we see the church dumbing itself down to the standards of the world instead of following the biblical directive to bring the world up to the standard of Christ, as we ourselves are trying to do that in our own lives. We have a thing called Faith Night that includes the devil's booze, the devil's brew. And so we come to Proverbs chapter 23. Why is booze wrong? Why shouldn't Christians indulge even a little? You know, there are many out there today that will hem and haw and say, well, as long as I drink in moderation, it's okay. And then you've got to begin to define moderation. Is it two? I mean, you got in that package on Faith Night, you got two tickets. You could get two cans, well, I don't know if they serve the cans, but two glasses of booze. Is that moderation? What is moderation when it comes to booze? Well, I'll tell you what moderation is. Moderation is teetotaling. It's none. It's leaving it all alone. If you notice in the middle of this passage, in verse number 32, he says, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. In other words, it was calm and it was controllable and it was something that was to be desired at first, and you don't know where that cutoff point is. You don't know when that booze will begin to take over. It may be with that first sip. You say, oh, that's ridiculous. It'll never happen with the first sip or not even the... Yes, it does. Scientific medical studies have proven that the first sip begins to change a person's personality. It talks about uttering perverse things, saying things we would never ordinarily say. And they found, and I believe I've referred to this study here before, but they put a bunch of college students in a room and noticed that almost nobody was talking. And this was their test. How much booze does it take to loosen the tongue? And so after a while of observing them in their almost total silence, a room full of college-aged young people, they then served a small glass of booze. I believe it was wine. And as soon as they took that first sip, the tongues loosened. The personality, and then they served some more. They noticed and observed the changes. The first sip is where moderation ends. We're not necessarily going to follow through and show how the Bible shows time and time and time again that the Christian stance is absolute abstinence from alcohol. I want to talk more about what booze does. As I said, the blight of booze. Did you realize that in the United States of America, $250 billion is spent a year on booze? $250 billion. What could you do with $250 billion. You can do just about anything you want, couldn't you? As a nation, we average just over $650 a year on booze. That doesn't sound like much, but I didn't spend my $650. I didn't spend a penny of it. I've told you before, I do everything I can to avoid even the aisles in the grocery stores. I'll walk way around to try and get around. And I mentioned how I hate Kroger's here on Shaner because they push you right through it. If you go to the, unless you want to fight with the lines for the grocery checkouts, they push you right through it. This makes you feel nasty and dirty. Maybe you didn't get involved in booze and maybe you don't understand the feelings and the emotions that go through my mind and my body when I walk through it. Now I'm not tempted to reach over and put any in my cart because as the Word of God describes it, at first it's enjoyable. At first it's fun. At first it's kind of cool. But then out comes that serpent, out comes that adder, and it begins to bite and it takes control and it clenches on with those fangs and it will not let go. And I understand that now because I'm on the other side, and praise God that He saved me, because I absolutely could not shake that on my own strength and in my own power. But by the grace of God. We also see addressed in this passage of Scripture its addictive nature. Now how ridiculous is it to lie down in the midst of the sea, to try to lay down on water? Now, I've done it before. Have you? Laid down right on the top of water, not sunk? Best time of year is the middle of February when it's rock solid. But I don't think that's what they're talking about here. I think they're talking about walking out on the pond and at least trying, and trying to lay down and take a nap. You say, well, that's just absolute foolishness. That's just stupidity. Yeah, that's the point. But that's the way a drunkard's mind works. There is no reality. They make it up as they go. And they think this makes perfect sense. I'm tired. I may be in the middle of the pond, but I'm just going to lay down here and I'm going to take a little nap. And when I get up, I'll go my merry way. He goes on and talks about laying on the top of a mast. I imagine a mast at the top might be 6 inches. Maybe I'm being a little generous with that. I couldn't balance on that thing on my feet, let alone in the middle of my back. But that's what he's saying. It is as foolish as trying to lay down on the top of a mast. It's just not going to happen. And it's utter nonsense. But again, that's the point. This is the way a drunkard's mind works. This is what happens in the under the influence of alcohol. They say, as I said, $250 billion is spent a year. It's actually more than $250 billion. I think it was $254 something. Just on the booze. But the abuse of alcohol, this is what it costs our country every year. $249 billion. To try to clean up the mess of those people that are trying to take a nap in the middle of the pond, or those people that are trying to lay on the top of a mast. But it's not a mast or a pond, it's behind the wheel of a car. Yeah, I'm good enough. I can steer this thing and get home safely. $249 billion. You know that those $249 billion don't come from the booze companies. They can't make that much because that's all that's spent, $254. But they're making loads of money because you and I are footing the bill. Whether we drink or not, that's why abolition is such a good thing. Now they, back in the 20s and 30s, when they started that in our country 100 years ago, they said it was a bad thing. It's kind of like the prosecutors today, though, that won't jail criminals. Because you had corrupt politicians in that day, and you had corrupt law enforcement that looked the other way. Because you and I are footing the bill. $249 billion worth of cleaning up the mess. The addictive nature, verse number 30, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. I remember very vividly, very early on, in the middle of winter, running and sliding and tripping over somebody and going headlong at full speed into a tree trunk, solidly hitting with the top of my head. You know what I did? I didn't get up and say, ouch. I got up laughing, saying that didn't even hurt. Because I was so out of my mind that I didn't even know what was going on. That's what he's talking about here. I've lived this. But notice the addictive nature. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. There's those fangs of the viper and of the adder set in your flesh, and you can't shake it off. But by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit of God, it's an addictive thing. And it begins with that first sip. Because that first sip, you say, oh, this isn't so bad. I kind of like the feeling. Almost nobody likes the taste. We've all heard the studies where they say drink a little wine each day and it will help your health. It has beneficial health effects. Why not just drink grape juice? You see, the wine has the alcohol in it that destroys the flesh. Here's some more facts. There's all kinds of facts. All you got to do is know how to use DuckDuckGo. But the health problems. Did you realize that 43% of all deaths attributed to liver disease are directly related to booze? 43% of all liver disease. There's just all kinds of medical scientific studies showing the negative effects of alcohol. And so when they're telling you that if you drink wine each day, it will have healthful benefits for your body, it'll be beneficial. They don't tell you the whole truth because they don't point how many brain cells are being killed, and they don't tell you how your liver is being damaged and all the other negative health effects. Why not just drink grape juice? Same thing, same health benefits without the negative. You know what? My kids like grape juice. I like grape juice. You know one thing I've never seen any of my kids do? I never watched myself drink it, but I've seen them drink it before. The one thing I've never seen them do when they drink their grape juice, I've never seen them wince. That's what happens when you drink alcohol, because it tastes bad. And yet, the statement is still there at the end of verse 30. I will seek it yet again. You see, it seems, even though it tastes terrible, it seems beneficial. It seems to have merit. It doesn't seem so bad until those fangs set their teeth in and it's too late to get away. And then you go back to where we started, and he lists six things that booze will bring into our life. It'll bring woe. That's trouble. The fellow who just got pulled over. Now, a guy showed me, I don't even know what to call, a little video that's on the internet of this guy who got pulled over for drunk driving. And instead of having him walk a straight line, she had him do dance steps. The police officer was a female. And it's really kind of comical, and he did pretty good doing those dance steps. And then he started to freestyle, and he was just going to town having a good old time. And she said to him something to the effect of, we ought to go dancing. You're a really good dancer. And he says this, only when I'm drunk. Busted. You tell that guy, he knew what woe was. He got a big ticket. My father-in-law was a terrible drinker. They say that 70% of all adults drink every year. Drink at least something every year, booze. And a quarter of those, better than a quarter of those, are binge drinkers. My father-in-law was one of those. He rolled and destroyed, I couldn't even tell you how many vehicles. Couldn't get insurance, and finally the state pulled his driver's license. Trouble. Whoa. If he wanted to go anywhere, he had to get a ride. He had to call a taxi. What about all those people that have lost their jobs? I worked with a fellow a few years back. I don't even remember what his name was. He was so bad, he had a breathalyzer on his car. And he had to blow into it before he could even start his car. But he found a way to circumvent that and wound up in jail. And the boss gave him chance after chance after chance and finally had enough and said, you're fired. Who has woe? Who has trouble in their life? You see, that's what booze will do. It paints itself as being fun and enjoyable and entertaining, and you can control it, and your life will be better than it ever had if you'll just indulge yourself. And they're not telling you the story of these that are destroying their lives. Sorrow. It's the second thing he tells us, sorrow. The broken homes. Our prisons are full of people who did something under the influence of alcohol they would have never done had they been in their right minds. In the grief they have, and the remorse, and the regret for the crimes they've committed. There's a story down in Ohio where I'm from of a corrections officer who got just rip-roaring drunk one night and pulled a gun and just committed a terrible crime. Grief. And in his right mind, he would have never done anything like that, an upstanding citizen in the community. And yet, because of one night's indulgence, started with that first sip, that's where moderation ends. And his life is ruined for the remainder of it, just in his early 40s. Probably spend the majority, if not the rest of his life, in jail. Because he wanted to go out and tip a few brews with his friends. the grief, not just of having lost his freedom, his liberty, but to have to remember the rest of his life the things that he had done on that night. Contention, number three, contention. You ever try to reason with a drunkard? It's not going to happen, is it? They will argue and argue and fight. I think I've told you about my friend Tom Walters, who I don't know why he was ever my friend. Him and my brother Jeff and I used to hang out all the time. And for fun, when we got drunk, my brother Jeff and I used to like to beat Tom up. Now, if we weren't drunk, we were good friends. That's why I don't know why he kept coming around. He knew if we got to drinking, he'd take a beating. Just what happened. I had friends who used to like to go to the bars and get drunk, and they'd go just to pick a fight. Contention. We want peace. We want to get along with people. But look at, again, the marriages and the relationships that get broken. Father, son, mother, daughter. Because the booze got involved and words were said that couldn't be taken back. He addresses that with the next one with babbling. But the contention is so strong it destroys relationships. And as I said, number four is that babbling. It's hard enough to control this tongue with a sober mind, isn't it? Well, you let it get loosened by booze where the devil takes control. He commands us, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's the only hope for controlling the tongue. James tells us that it's a hopeless cause in the natural flesh. Only a born-again individual has any hope of controlling the tongue, and that's when we yield it to the Holy Spirit of God. Well, you let the devil take over with his booze and he'll loosen that tongue and you'll say some things you would never say when you're sober and you will hurt people's feelings intentionally and be proud of it under the influence of the booze, babbling, a blight of booze. Who has wounds without a cause? Falling down steps. There was only one time in all my drinking, I drank a lot. Well, maybe to some people it's not a lot, but when I was drinking, and I may have told you this before, I'd have to get a 12-pack and drink the whole 12-pack, and then I have to go from there because I wouldn't even notice any of the effects of the alcohol on me after 12 beers. It's only when I started beyond that that I began to notice its influence. But there's only one time in those 3 or 4 years where I was drinking heavily that I woke up the next morning with no idea what happened the day before. I always remembered everything. It just happened to be at a birthday party of a person I worked with, and they told me that I fell down the stairs. Wounds without a cause. I didn't remember that one, but just because you lose your coordination, you lose your motor skills. Wounds without a cause. You can't drive your car straight and you run into a tree. They say that 28% of all automobile fatalities are due to booze. 28%. Wounds without a cause. With a sober mind, those wounds would never happen. Those injuries would never occur. And yet people are walking around today lame and maimed because they wanted to have that one night of enjoyment drinking that booze and saying, it'll never affect me. It won't hurt me. I'll get home okay. I'll be all right in the end. No, it's a viper. And in the end, it'll sting. Number six in our list here in verse number 29, who hath redness of eyes? On the surface, this would seem to appear to the hangover that is so common. But I think it goes beyond that. I don't think it's talking about just a one-time thing. I think it's talking about a recurring condition. I think what he's referring to here are the health issues as a result of drinking that alcohol. And it compounds the problem of so many. I was on a National Institute of Health article. And they're saying that it, obviously with the liver disease, any kind of liver disease. But it says that they were saying that it compounds issues or causes issues and compounds problems with people that have heart disease and strokes. And they went on and on with a list of the health effects of booze, the negative health effects. You know, there wasn't a single thing where they said on that website that if you drink a little bit of booze in moderation, it will help you with this health issue. It doesn't say that anywhere. Everything they listed was detrimental to your health. And yet we as Americans are spending over $250 billion a year on this stuff. And we're having faith nights at the ballpark for the family. We're part of our ticket as Christians to go in and view this ball game and have a time with other Christians includes booze. Unfortunately, here in these last days, it seems the devil's winning the day. You know, Jesus made a statement before his crucifixion. I think he made the statement to Judas. He says, "In this thy hour." Jesus gave the devil an hour in order that he could be crucified. We're in the last days. That trumpet will sound at any moment. In this, the world's hour. Let's not fall for his deception. Let's not fall for his ways. Let's not be like these worldlings that want to be just like the world, even to the point of falling to the deception of booze. Let's stand up, stand true, stand strong, and avoid anything that has to do with booze for the glory of God. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I just believe that everyone here in the room probably would never drink. But Father, may we be even stronger in this conviction that your word of God teaches us very clearly to abstain from all appearance of evil, including anything to do with booze. And Father, may we have the wisdom guided by your Holy Spirit to not even concede to drink in moderation as so many do today. Father, let us be strong in our voice that the world may know there's something different about us. And it's the regeneration through Christ. Something different about us than about other religions. That they might come to the truth and be gloriously saved. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.